And so we turn to Holy Scripture, first of all from Isaiah chapter 43, beginning to read at the first verse. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I will give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you, and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Then we turn to Luke chapter 3, and we begin to read at verse 15. The people were waiting expectantly, and we're all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Ending here at verse 22, we thank and praise God for his written word to us.
As we come to open God's word, let's pray together first of all. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth and plant it deep in us, to shape and fashion us in your likeness. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. I wonder, have you known someone all your life, and yet you've never really known them? You haven't known them on first name terms. Maybe it's like an old school teacher that you meet in the district, and the conversation goes something like, hello, it's lovely to see you, and that's it. It's pleasant, but it's not a personal relationship. First name terms are important. They are personal. And how we use someone's name can indicate whether we know them well or whether we don't know them very well, whether it's formal or informal. But sometimes I wonder if first name terms are always applicable too. I want to tell you a true story about a first name term mishap. One winter afternoon, I'd been at a meeting, and as it ended, I realised I had a very short time in which I could pop to the local bookshop and pick up a selection of books which I was going to display the next weekend at the back of church. So, excusing myself from the meeting promptly, I headed for the bookshop and I arrived in a fluster. However, the bookshop manager greeted me with unusual enthusiasm. I thought I wouldn't be very popular, diving in 20 minutes before closing time. But when I explained that I needed a selection of books by a certain author, he was very obliging. "Certainly, Julie. They're kept over here," he said. "That's no problem, Julie. We'll get them gathered up and we'll get an invoice made and that'll be you sorted, Julie." Well, the business part was going well and I was getting my task achieved, but I was a wee bit curious. Why did this manager keep calling me by my first name when I'd never met him before? And as he piled the books up on the counter, I scrutinised his face. Should I know this person? Had I forgotten his name? Or could he possibly know me? It was my first trip to this local bookshop, after all. Well, by the time the invoice had been processed and printed out, I was certain I had never seen him before. And I most certainly did not know his name. Curiosity got the better of me. Excuse me, I said. "You've been very helpful getting the books organised, and I appreciate that, but I was wondering, can I ask just one thing? Do I know you? And if I do, I'm really sorry, but I can't remember your name. It's just that you seem to know my name." Well, back came the response. "That's right, Julie," he said again. "You are wearing a large white label on the outside of your jacket that says J-U-L-I-E. Well, that is your name, isn't it?" Oh, the label from the meeting had been left on my jacket. Well, I couldn't peel it off quickly enough in embarrassment. But how we laughed, and we still do. Throughout the Old Testament, God has a specific name. And yet, you would be hard-pushed to get a Jew, modern or ancient, who would write that name or speak that name. And in fact, the Old Testament writers took to using a four-letter cipher, YHWH, Yahweh or Jehovah. It was the proper name for the covenant God of Israel. And it was never used to refer to any other divine or angelic being, Yahweh or Jehovah, the one true God, the sacred, personal, unique name for God. The name Yahweh was the name, if you remember, that God gave to Moses in Exodus chapter 3. When he asks Moses to go and speak to Pharaoh, Moses says, "Well, who will I say that you are? Who has sent me?" And God says, "I am who I am." That's Yahweh. A name that personified the unchanging nature of God. An intensely personal name. Revealing that name to Moses, was it inviting a personal relationship with a holy God? Was it a first name relationship? Or was it a holy God who wanted his people to remember that he would never change? He was the same God, the one who had made a covenant with his people to remain faithful to them, to choose and forever love his people. This morning we read from the first seven verses of Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah is a book of two halves, some people say. So you have chapters 1 to 39 as the first half and chapters 40 to 66 as the second half, roughly. In Isaiah chapters 1 to 39, Isaiah the prophet is warning the people of Judah, God's chosen people, that they would go into exile. They would be carried off to a distant land. They would lose their temple, their king, their holy city, their land, and everything that their name stood for. Would Judah and her people be a forgotten name, a bygone name? In the second half of Isaiah, chapter 40 onwards, the prophecy continues. And these are events that are for the future. Now, many books and movies give us flashback moments. They remind us of previous events and they fill in the history, as it were. But Isaiah has, if I can suggest, flash forward events, things that would happen in the future. Exile would be awful, but there would come hope. Hope of a future restoration. Why? God had not forgotten his people, their name. We find ourselves this morning in chapter 43 of Isaiah, as I said. And this is one of God's passionate pleas to his people, that he would not forget them. He knows them by name, and he would continue to call them by name. This is how the first verse reads. Now, this is what Yahweh, the I Am, says. Listen, Jacob, to the one who created you. Israel, to the one who shaped who you are. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. What is God saying in this promise of restoration? I created you. I know you. I made you. I know you very well. And for those who respond to my call, I will give my son to redeem you. Christ's birth, you see, has yet to come. And this is a God who says, I'm calling you to bear my name and to belong to me. I will remain faithful to my promise, my covenant, and my name. I have chosen you to relate to redeem, to be called by name, and to be mine. And even when verses 2 and 3 continue, he says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God. When, not if, or maybe if, you go through periods of difficulty, like overwhelming rivers and fiery trials, I, the I Am, will be with you. You will not be overwhelmed. Why? Because you belong to me. You bear my name and you have my backing. Know whose you are. Yahweh could be saying, know whose name tag you wear. You are mine. In our New Testament reading from Luke chapter 3, we read of Jesus being baptized. And I'm glad Chris spoke about this earlier too, because you might well ask, why would Jesus Christ be baptized? He didn't need to repent of sin and go through the waters of baptism. But just as Yahweh had made himself a personal, knowable God to his people, in being baptized, Jesus, as Chris said, was identifying with the people. I'm one like you, he was saying. I'm standing with you. I've come to live amongst you. And in that baptism, if you remember the words, when heaven opens and the Holy Spirit descends in bodily form like a dove, and God speaks, he says to Jesus, "You are my Son, my beloved, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased." God named Jesus as his Son, my beloved, the one who bears my name, and a name that couldn't be given to anyone else, in fact. To ratify that, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all make an appearance at the baptism. They didn't need to say it, but at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, was this not a wonderful assurance to Jesus Christ? Remember whose you are, to whom you belong, the family of the Trinity. You are the Son of God. You are the incarnation of God, the exact representation of God, divine and yet human. By belonging to me, knowing whose you are, you have my pledge and my guarantee, the Holy Spirit, and all the strength and empowering of that Holy Spirit too. To be his Father's Son, to bear the name of God, and to bring the honour to that name, Jesus went in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. We'll maybe see more of that next week if we talk about the time when Jesus goes into the wilderness and faces the temptations. So, when he too would walk through overwhelming circumstances, just as mighty waves of the ocean might seem. Or when he would walk through persecution, just like the heat of a fire might seem. He would know, Jesus would know, whose he was. Yahweh, our covenant God, knows our name, calls our name, calls us personally and corporately. He reassures us that as Creator, he has made us. No one could know us better. He chooses to want a first name term relationship with us. And he assures us of redemption if we respond to his call. For those who hear the call of God and bear the name of Christ ones, as the first disciples were first called, remember, he says, the name tag you wear. Not just who you are, but whose you are. You are a child of a faithful, covenant-keeping God, with the power of the Holy Spirit to accompany you.